Hello everyone, welcome to In the Dark. We bring you industry travel knowledge and answers to your questions. This is episode 3, Resources. I am your host, Alvin, and our guest speaker, Ethan. Today's discussion, we talk about the different resources out there that can help you get the job, give you the skills needed, and add to your knowledge. The IT industry and InfoSec is a hard field to get into, guys. We know that. We've all been there. Also, don't let the job description scare you as well. We've all seen it as well. And although it may ask for a lot, pretty realistically, you're more than qualified to get that job if you just apply. Don't be scared, don't sell yourself short, and just give it a try.
Hey Ethan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you for joining, Ethan.
Perfect. Thanks for having me on, man. Glad to see that my market's working on mine.
Awesome. All right. So we previously discussed that we will be talking about resources, correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
All right. Awesome. So what type of resources have you used so far?
I kind of started off collecting a bunch of them. Always kind of wanted to get my hands dirty, but I wanted to make sure that I had as many different recordings or videos and different types of books I could read. So, I mean, everything from books to forums of community, stuff to do with labbing, coding. Those are all kind of stuff I've tried to sort of get my hands on to get myself started.
Awesome. See, so from out of those resources that you use, is there any that you recommend, any top five resources that you will recommend for anyone starting out?
Yeah, for anyone starting out, I would say get used to the lingo of the community. That's probably one of the things that I'd start out with. It's a real easy way to sort of get into things, understand what people are talking about. Best way to do that I found is communities like Reddit. There's a couple of subreddits. I find probably my most favorite are the subreddit IT career questions. There's one for cybersecurity, one for Linux. Also, there's another one called How to Hack and Hacking Tutorials. And they've got a few just basic questions that people pose to get a good understanding of how to hack and how to follow those tutorials. Sysadmin is a good one as well. They share some pretty funny stories. People had some pretty bad mishaps, things to look out for. Gives you a pretty good idea of what sysadmin is like. I mean, there's been a few stories of, you know, servers overheating and they've been called up at the middle of the night to take care of this. And some of them funny, some of them scary, but kind of gives you a good idea as to what those people deal with. NetSec is a good one as well, which focuses on, as I'm sure you can imagine, network security. And network admin as well. That one's not so well visited, but network admin's a pretty good forum to go and visit as well. Hang out on Meetup. If you can find anybody on Meetup to go hang out with, that's a good place to go as well. Obviously, you can't visit with anybody right now just due to COVID. But if no one's doing virtual meetups, I mean, why not join and propose that they do? I mean, there's no reason not to meet and get engaged with people. So I would say promote the virtual aspect of things. Twitch is a good one too. There's some live streamers over there that actually post some pretty good content. They'll put that up on Twitch pretty regularly. The Cyber Mentor is a good one on there. I know that he has a YouTube channel as well. And he's actually been quite generous in putting out, I think it's a full like 14-hour penetration testing course, kind of like ethical hacking from absolutely, well, I wouldn't say absolutely no knowledge, but you'd have to have some knowledge of networking. But he takes you from the beginning out through having some experience and gets your hands dirty. And also the Mayor 11 on Twitch. He's a pretty good one as well. I think if I said that correctly. YouTube. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh yeah. So I guess I will say I'm a little familiar with the Cybermentor. I've seen some of his stuff. I haven't particularly seen his stuff on Udemy, but I follow him on YouTube pretty closely.
Okay.
So yeah, I would say he's a pretty good resource as well. I can vouch for him as well.
Yeah, he's actually done quite a bit for the community. I appreciate him. And if you follow him on Twitter and I think on Discord as well, he has some discount codes that he sends out pretty frequently to some of his courses on Udemy. So those are some good things to watch out for. Obviously, YouTube as well. I mean, you can't leave YouTube out. It's so many videos, so many things to learn. I mean, the Cybermentor on there as well. OWASP on there, Hack5, Black Hat, Metasploit, Rapid7, NTOP for some network analysis. Black Hills Information Security, if you're not familiar with them, they've done a lot to put back into the hacker community as well. And they have quite an organized YouTube channel with quite a bit of videos on there. And they also have a Wild West Hack and Fest that they do twice a year. So be on the lookout for that as well. If you can get hands on some tickets, those are always valuable information. And Pentester Academy, always an awesome one as well on YouTube.
Yes, I've heard about those. A lot of people said a lot of great things about that one. But what would you say the learning curve is for that one? Would you recommend that one to someone that's first, like, barely starting out in cybersecurity?
For Pentester Academy and Black Hills Information Security, if someone's starting out, I don't know if I'd recommend that to them right away. There are a few things that I would recommend before that. And obviously, you'd want to get a basic knowledge of learning Windows, Linux. You'd want to learn some TCP IP concepts as well. OSI model, make sure you're up to date on that and understand what devices work at, what layers in that OSI model, and just get a good knowledge of some administration with those devices, analysis on networks and troubleshooting too before jumping into that. So not for basic people on the intro to InfoSec, but definitely something to look out for further down the road.
Got it. All right, let's see what other questions I have. So for Pentester Academy, what would the price range be for, like, the most basic course on there, I guess?
That one's going to vary. I mean, I'm not sure what I would say is the most basic. I mean, they have a bunch of different courses. It's almost similar to, not necessarily Udacity, but maybe like Udemy, where you can have a look at different courses. Those are going to have different price points for you. And it depends as well, you know, if you're doing Python, studying for a certification. But if you're looking to do an exam for anything like that, you might be looking at about $100. Just kind of, I would say between $100 and $200 is probably what you're looking at for some certifications and stuff like that.
Got it. So Udemy would be the first starting point before jumping onto anything like Pentester Academy and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would say, you know, if somebody's going to be brand new to InfoSec and they're really looking to get their hands dirty, trying to get involved in the community, understand what's going on, but also as far as the technical side of things, find some, I can't remember what his name is, but he has a book called Learning Windows PowerShell in a Month of Lunches. So it takes about 30 days through different PowerShell challenges. And that gets you a pretty good understanding of how PowerShell works. You're going to want to understand some basic scripting, whether that be in Python, it can be in Bash. There's a bunch of other shells other than PowerShell, Batch, or using Python, but just stick with those three. You'll find that those are probably the most useful and the most seen in any job requirements that people have.
Mm-hmm.
Learn Linux as well. I mean, most Linux distributions are free. Mm-hmm. Try and get a hold of those. You can put them up on a I'm sure we can talk about labbing and how to set all that stuff up and
mm-hmm.
and what to look out for a little bit later. But do some labbing, put it up online. You can use AWS as EC2, Microsoft Azure,
mm-hmm.
DigitalOcean. If you don't have if you don't have hardware at home,
mm-hmm.
you can use that stuff to set up your labs. Mess around with Linux, tweak some settings. If you break it, reinstall it. Try to fix the issue. Don't worry about getting sidetracked in Linux. Just don't try not to resort to video games or other things that are going to distract your attention from that, but really try to buckle down and learn mm-hmm. Windows, Linux, networking. Understand those basics before trying to move to anything else that's sexy, so to speak. If you try to do something too sexy too soon, it's not going to look so sexy when you can't do the basic right. TCP/IP understanding those right. protocols and the OSI model and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of people out there that just wants to jump right into the good old meaty stuff, right? Like they'll have that high anticipation or the what's that word?
Yeah, everyone just sort of wants to jump in and open up that terminal and know exactly what they're doing and go yeah. and hack into NASA and gain access to all their documents. But that's not how it works. You got to have a lot more knowledge on that. And that's why InfoSec is one of the tougher fields to get into, is just such a broad base of knowledge to
mm-hmm.
to understand to get into that. And that's, you know, more so on the technical side. You have other aspects of it to do with administrative issues and things like that, but we're right, talking yeah. about the technical side of things. So definitely have a basic understanding of networking and mm-hmm. your basic operating systems.
Yeah. Yeah. And InfoSec is a pretty big field. Like besides the technical stuff, there's like policy frameworks and like a GRC and stuff like that pretty much. That plays a big factor as well.
Yeah, it's huge. And the amount of, I mean, just trying to hop into an InfoSec role in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be such a learning curve just to go and do that. But yeah, just if you follow up on these basic stuff, I mean, you'll and try to follow it up with labbing if you're a hands-on learner,
mm-hmm.
that's going to take you miles ahead of anyone else that's just practiced on the non-functional side of things.
Got it. Yeah. 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 A lot of kids out there, you just want the big bucks right away, huh?
It's
kind of funny. Like they'll see some videos or they think they know enough and they'll start trying to jump into hard stuff and they immediately get discouraged when they get lost and not know what to do after a few minutes in.
Yeah, that's happened to myself a few times, you know, and it's bound to happen when you're studying something you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Just you gotta be patient with yourself, especially when you're learning how to learn and teaching mm-hmm. yourself to do that stuff.
Yeah,
if you hit a brick wall and you don't understand something, don't try to, you know, beat your head against the wall. Take a break from it.
Yeah.
Or go find somebody else that's teaching the subject. Sometimes it just takes finding somebody else that teaches the material a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that can kind of be like a breakthrough or a aha moment for a lot of people is just finding somebody that explains it to them in a way they can understand. So
yeah.
Be on the lookout for other resources for sure.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. From what I've seen, a lot of people think like they can't ask for help when it comes for like InfoSec stuff, you know, like they'll try to learn it on their own and they'll think they can do it. But after so many tries, they start to give up. And they shouldn't give up, because if you're struggling with something, reach out, you know, ask someone for help. They might give their insight on it. You know, two minds are better than one, especially if you're mm-hmm. struggling.
Absolutely. And it's not a bad thing to ask for a mentor or to ask for help.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, everybody's going to suck at something new, and it's okay to do that. Yeah, it's really okay to just suck it up and say, look, I don't understand what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Humble yourself a little bit and ask for some help.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, I've heard there can be a lot of big egos in the InfoSec space, mm-hmm. but there are also a lot of people willing to help and give back to the community. Mm-hmm. And if you find those people and spend your time around them, mm-hmm. chances are you're going to have a little bit of an easier time getting in.
Yeah. And they'll probably help speed up your process too of learning.
Absolutely. Yeah. Reach out to people. I mean, we've got LinkedIn, you got Facebook, you've got YouTube to reach out to people, Twitch, mm-hmm. you've got Discord, you know, use all these resources to find people. You could just do searches on there for various channels and eventually you'll find people, you know, read through the comments. Sometimes your peers watching the same video will recommend other individuals. Mm-hmm. Look those people up, you know, ask them questions, send them invites on, mm-hmm. on LinkedIn. You know, maybe don't ask them, hey, would you mind being my mentor? Because that's going to come across as kind of vague and probably wasting somebody's time. But know what you're looking for and see if you can contribute to the community as well in some way. One of the other things I've heard as well, especially for beginners, is start a blog. Use Blogspot or, you know, write somewhere on a WordPress mm-hmm. blog, excuse me. And just write down what you learned. Write it in the way you understand it. Mm-hmm. It's a way to help you further understand stuff. But also, mm-hmm. if you come to an employer one day and they're looking at somebody who's got similar experience to you, but you can say, hey, I have a blog explaining what you you understand the subject matter pretty well. Mm-hmm. They can see that you put in all this time and effort and they can actually read through the blog. Mm-hmm. And it almost acts as a secondary, more intensive resume that they can look at and see, oh, you have an understanding of all this technology. Mm-hmm. And this other person, they've only showed us what they know, perhaps through the interview, what questions we've asked, mm-hmm. or just what they've been able to explain on their resume. So could definitely help in that sense as well.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly.
The other thing, if you don't mind touching on, is labbing. I know for me, just talking about beginners here in InfoSec, mm-hmm. And by no means am I some Wizard of Oz on this stuff, but using a lab, whether it be something at home or using something online, like that AWS EC2, mm-hmm. or Microsoft Azure, those are really good ways to understand different distributions of Linux. Mm-hmm. Windows has, I think, 180-day trials of Windows Server. You can use 2019, 2012, mm-hmm. 2008, and I think back to 2003 as well. But 2003 is pretty antiquated. I would stick with 2012 and up. Mm-hmm. Unless you're looking at jobs where they do require a knowledge of that, but mm-hmm. definitely play around on those. And some of these Amazon EC2, they have a free tier. You have about 750 hours per month mm-hmm. Within that free tier of computing that you can use, mm-hmm. And pretty low costs and increase incrementally if you need more juice than that. Mm-hmm. Azure as well. I mean, it's free to students for 12 months if you have if your organization you're going to school with is mm-hmm. set up with that, you'll get 200 credits with it as well. And you'll also have 750 hours of free computing per month. Mm-hmm. And as well, it's the same thing with AWS. That increases incrementally if you need more juice. Yeah. And I mean, you're looking at maybe it's maybe 8.5 cents per computing hour. So mm-hmm. it's really, the cost is pretty minimal to go in and learn and mm-hmm. mess with that stuff. And if you break it, try to fix it. If you can't, reinstall it, mm-hmm. not that big of a deal. Don't worry about breaking stuff on there. And it's nice that you can have that detached from your own personal computer so that if anything does mm-hmm. go wrong, you can just reset that and don't have to worry about so much liability.
Yeah. And the thing with IT is that the more you break, the more you learn, right? Because then you get to exactly. learn how to fix it back. And then that's another skill you learn as well.
Yeah. I mean, if you've fixed some issue that you've had at home and you, you know, come into the real world environment and somebody says, hey, either we don't know how to fix this or you're the designated guy to go and fix it because you're the lowest on the totem pole. Mm-hmm. And you already know how to fix it, you're going to have a much easier time doing that job than somebody else would that has never had that labbing experience.
Exactly, yeah. You probably get bumped up to a pretty big promotion too along the way.
Definitely. Yeah. If you can say, hey, I can do that. Or honestly, even if you can say, hey, I don't know how to do that, but I do know how to use Google and find an answer for you, I'll get back to you with some solutions. Mm-hmm. Chances are that's going to go a long way as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Google is our friend in our industry, isn't it?
Definitely. There's so many errors out there. Nobody has any idea what they mean.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. I'm pretty sure there's just a web page out there just full of errors that no one knows about.
Yeah, definitely. Databases all over the place. People have no idea about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, is there anything else? I would say, in addition to labbing, learn a coding language. Python will be used for scripting, but you can use it for coding as well.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, if you go deep enough into InfoSec and within the path where you start writing your own malware and get into malware analysis and things like that, mm-hmm. You're going to want to understand what some of that code will do. So mm-hmm. picking up a coding language will help. It doesn't necessarily matter which one you pick up right off the bat, so long as you understand the logic pretty well mm-hmm. behind coding. And then obviously you can learn other languages and just work on the syntax after that. But I mean, there's free sites all over the place. Coursera, Code Academy, Khan Academy, Solo Learn, Plural Sites got a free and paid option. And obviously, mm-hmm. you know, YouTube as well.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say though, Treehouse has probably been one of my favorite. It's about $25 a month, but they have some really good content out there and various different tracks. For Swift, they've got Java. I think they've got one on C# as well mm-hmm. as Python, Ruby. They've mm-hmm. got quite a bit of different languages out there. HTML, CSS,
mm-hmm.
Definitely some things to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the funny thing about programming languages is that on every job search I've looked at, there's always a handful of them that wants their candidate to have at least five programming languages. I'm like, five? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, or they've got some entry-level position and they need a CSP and, you know, all these sort of crazy certifications, which people exactly. only get if they have experience in the industry. It's kind of a broken system, but we'll always find a way around it.
Yeah. It's so weird. You know, I don't know how I feel about like recruiting and HR and how they communicate with it. Like, they just ask so much, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, you know, that's probably, I wouldn't say one of the biggest roadblocks, but it's definitely a big roadblock when it comes to looking for a job in InfoSec.
Mm-hmm.
is those job descriptions. And there was actually, I don't know, are you aware of Alyssa Miller?
Yeah, yeah.
Ever heard of her in the InfoSec community at all?
Yeah, she's pretty crazy, you know. I've seen her stuff. I've seen some of her webinars and some of her her showings, you know, and her in the way she describes things. She's pretty crazy, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's really awesome. One of the things that she released recently, and I would honestly like recommend everybody check this out. But she had a video that she put up on YouTube with her. It's one of the. Give me one second here. I'm actually going to see if I can find this here on YouTube for us and see what the exact name of it is. But it's called DefCon. Safe Mode Career Hacking Village
mm-hmm.
By Alyssa Miller. And she goes through very in-depth as to what things look like today in mm-hmm. in the job market. And especially kind of the employer's side, mm-hmm. people looking for employees, as well as from the job seeker side. And she gives a pretty good rundown of what it looks like what the miscommunication looks like between those two, mm-hmm. as you've got HR departments getting together and they're coming up with these fancy, elongated job descriptions that nobody understands exactly mm-hmm. what it is, or they're asking way too much of them. Mm-hmm. When in reality, if you come in and you meet 60, 70% of that, you could be a candidate for it. Mm-hmm. But it sucks a lot of people out and they end up not applying for it. Mm-hmm. And then HR complains because they're not getting enough applicants for the job, mm-hmm. which was one of the reasons they don't fill these positions is they don't have enough people applying for it. And one of the reasons for that is these long job descriptions. So chances are, if you see something that looks a little out of your pay grade or something that looks a little daunting or they've got way too many requirements on there, mm-hmm. maybe just give it a shot. I mean, if you meet a fair amount of those requirements, send in your application or send in your resume, mm-hmm. You know, apply for the job, try to sit down for an interview, mm-hmm. work on those personal skills and mm-hmm. See where that takes you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, though. You know, a lot of people don't know that, especially new graduates or students. You know, they'll look at the jobs in cybersecurity or InfoSec, and like they'll see all these positions that they'll try to find entry level only.
Yeah,
they'll never try anything for more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing, I've actually seen, kind of looking through some people's questions that they've had about InfoSec and about getting jobs and about what certifications do I get, you know, what path do I have to follow to get into InfoSec? And, you know, the reality of it is there's not just one path to get into InfoSec. Mm-hmm. Some people go into that administration side where they focus on guidelines and policies and making sure, you know, people are being audited and making sure that these frameworks are being followed out correctly. And mm-hmm. other people are on the technical side of things. Other people are in management, you know, watching over the technical mm-hmm. people. There's so many different routes and ways to get into it. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I would say, and probably what eliminates most of that question is if you have a job in mind or a goal that you're shooting for, mm-hmm. go and look it up. Look it up on LinkedIn jobs. Go and look it up on Indeed, Glassdoor, mm-hmm. whatever job search tool you use, clearance jobs. Look at the job, look at the description, and look at what requirements that they have for that. Mm-hmm. And eventually, after looking through a few of those jobs, you'll see some similarities. You'll see, obviously, they're going to need some interpersonal skills, but you'll also see certifications that they mm-hmm. all need in common. Once you find those in common with the position that you want, mm-hmm. go hunt down those certifications, find education surrounding that. Mm-hmm. Hop on LinkedIn, go find people in companies you want to work for and in positions you want to be at, and reach out to them. You know, you can send a message without having to connect to them, or you can request to connect with them. And once you have, mm-hmm. you know, reach out to them in a message and say, hey, I'm really interested in this position. You know, can you tell me a little bit more about it? Mm-hmm. Be respectful of their time. Obviously, you don't want to be drilling them with questions, but
yeah.
There's multiple other ways to find information about how to get in mm-hmm. And finding what certifications you need by looking at those job descriptions and what people are looking for to fill that position.
Yeah. And a lot of people are afraid too, you know, like they don't want to step over the line, so to speak, you know, they try to stay in their lane, but what is their lane exactly, you know? They probably qualify for something more than just an entry level, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't sell yourself short, and you know, be confident in the skills you do have, and don't be afraid to apply for some jobs that may be a little bit out of your supposed skill set, something that you mm-hmm. think you have or think you don't have. I mean, mm-hmm. you got to think that they're. At the other end of this, they're probably inflating the job description because they're looking for something more, when in actual fact, they'll settle for something a little bit more realistic.
Yeah.
So be aware of what it looks like from their end as well. And you'll come to find out that maybe it's not as grand as hard to get into mm-hmm. as they're making it seem.
Yeah. Is there any other topics you want to discuss?
No other topics. I think as far as basics go, that'll probably get people a good idea. One other video that I would recommend everyone check out on YouTube is Your 5-Year Path into InfoSec. And this is it's put on by John Strand. He's the owner there at Black Hills Information Security. Mm-hmm. They have it up on YouTube. So it's, yeah, your 5-year path into InfoSec. Mm-hmm. He goes through kind of training or regimen, if you will, that you should follow from year one up to about year five.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, this isn't, I'm not putting another pathway on somebody that they have to follow. It's just a suggestion. And he goes through mm-hmm. some pretty good basics coming from somebody who's deep into the industry already mm-hmm. and knows what would be some good things to understand and be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out myself as well. It sounds like a pretty good resource for everyone to look at. So, listeners out there, I suggest you guys do the same too. I'm vouching for it. Because why not, you know? You want to get yourself prepared. You want to be in the InfoSec field as well. So might as well get as much resources as you can, prepare yourself, and get in there.
Definitely.
All right. Guess that is it about our time. I believe we are running out of time for today. Ethan, thank you for joining me. I would like to.
Hey, well, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I would love to have you on the show again. Maybe we could discuss some other topics. Maybe something that can help maybe a mid-level person in InfoSec. I mean, we're probably not mid-level ourselves, but maybe we can help them out as well, you know? Who knows?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like any information, you know, that we can share for anybody listening, I feel like hopefully we can, you know, find this way to give back in our own way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's always important to help one another out, especially one's trying to get into the field, you know. IT, security, InfoSec, cybersecurity, these are pretty tough fields to get into.
Definitely. Yeah, and I would say, you know, like you mentioned, I'm definitely no, you know, expert or anything like that mm-hmm. on this, but I have gained some resources. I'm definitely curious mm-hmm. about it. If anybody on this podcast does want to reach out to me, I mean, you're welcome to, you can send me an email. It's, ethanroux@gmail.com. That's ethanroux@gmail.com. You can send me an email asking me any questions or, I've got loads more resources, than what mm-hmm. we've talked about today. Some ebooks that I've collected, over the years that I've been mm-hmm. studying IT and a bunch of other different communities to join as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to reach out, you're more than welcome to send me an email and we can get that conversation going.
Yeah, awesome. I'll also include your email in the description of the podcast as well for this episode, just in case they miss it.
Perfect.
Awesome. All right. Thanks again, Ethan, for joining. I look forward to speaking with you again. And thank you guys for thank you guys out there, you listeners. We appreciate you. Without you, this podcast probably wouldn't be happening.
Definitely. I'd love to hear probably from the audience as well what else they want to hear. That'd be kind of neat. So maybe they can email me that as well.
Definitely. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. So if you listeners have any questions for any of us, or if you want to reach out and or if you want to join this podcast as well, let us know. And we will be more than happy to include you in our next episode together.
Hey, well, thanks so much for having me on, Alvin. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Ethan. Talk to you soon.
All right. We'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In the next episode, we will be speaking with a global solutions architect, and he will explain his role to us and how we can get a nice title like that.